You may have noticed as we sang that most of what we sang about was thanks and gratitude and stuff, because we're entering a season of thanks and stuff. We're close to Thanksgiving, where as a nation we have set aside a day as a day of Thanksgiving. But we are in a season of thanks with God too, to realize what he has done for us and stuff. So I want us to have a responsive reading today from Psalms 100. And this is going to be where you participate, and it's going to be the right side and the left side, as well as all of us as we get through a couple of slides and stuff to do, to read the Psalms 100. So we'll start out with my part, and we'll say, "Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with his gladness. All right.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving, go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name.
For the Lord is good, his unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. Just realizing that God is good, and his faithfulness is there, and we should be giving him thanks for what he has done in our lives, for the blessings that he has bestowed upon us, and the things that take place in the world around us. You know, I received a special gift today, and I'm thankful for it. And so did you. You received a special gift. Did you know that? That you woke up this morning and were able to take breath. The breath that God gives us of life. Did you know that yesterday in the United States alone, there was an average of 8,400 people that did not wake up, that were not able to take a breath? That's equal to just over 3 million people a year that die. And there are 342 million people in the United States, approximately. Now, it keeps going up and down, right? And stuff to do. And many of us might have the philosophy of saying, when we get up, "Good Lord, it's morning." But should we say instead, "Good morning, Lord. Thank you for the breath that you have given me and those things that we take place with." There was one guy that told the story of his son, Tyler, that came home from school and said, we can't use the word thank you in the bathroom. And his mom said, "Well, explain more to me. I don't understand what you're saying." He said, "Well, you know, there's a sign on the bathroom door that says, please do not use thank you." Our assumptions, right? That we put these things together and we say, you know, "Oh, this is what I should or shouldn't do," and the things that we do. You know, we often put a "but" at the end of our thank you. As in, "Lord, I thank you for my friends, but I wish I had more." Or, "I'm grateful for my health, but I wish I weren't getting gray and having so many aches and pains. Lord, I'm grateful for our home, but I really would like to have new carpet." Do we have a lot of buts that we put in the phrase when we thank God for what's going on in our lives, for what we have? Genesis chapters 1 and 2 describe God's act of creating everything. And in it, Genesis 2:7 gives us some details about how humans came to life. He says, "Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person." See, God's act of creation was an intimate one. The story gives the image of God leaning in and breathing the first breath of life into humans. This was not just a one-time act of giving life to a human. The breath of life that we breathe in and out of our lungs every day happens day and night, that God gives us life. Job refers to this state of being in this way when he said in Job 27:3, "For as long as life is in me, and the breath of God is in my nostrils." To realize that that's what it is. It's not just air that we breathe. It is the breath of God that gives us life, that we breathe in and out. Today we might use the phrase that says, as long as I'm still breathing. Job's point is not simply about his life, but rather that when we breathe, it is God's breath that is giving us life. And when speaking about nature and the power of God to the Athenians, Paul said, he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things. That's the same point that Job made. The very air that we breathe to stay alive is a gift from God. That gift that every one of you received this morning. Were you thinking about it at the time when you woke up and said, wow, here I am. God's given me life today. Whether you had anything else in your life to be thankful for, were you thankful first for that? What this means for us practically is that every moment of the day, each breath is an opportunity to be grateful for that gift of life, even in the midst of the hard things, even while we struggle, even while we have things that happen in our lives that are difficult for us to deal with. Does anybody have anything difficult in your life to deal with? Yeah, that's a part of it. I'm not talking about husbands, you know, and stuff to do. That's a given, right? But some of you may remember the name Corrie Ten Boom and her book, The Hiding Place. She was in a Nazi concentration camp, and she tells about that an incident that took place in the concentration camp that taught her the principles of giving thanks in all things. And it was during World War II that it came about, because Corrie and her sister and her family were harboring Jewish people in their home. She was not Jewish herself, but she was harboring Jewish people to hide them from the Germans as they were taking them to concentration. But they were found out. And as they were arrested, Corrie and her sister Betsy were taken to the Ravensbrück camp to be imprisoned. And the barracks was extremely crowded. Then it was infested with fleas. And one morning they read in their tattered Bible that they were able to bring with them from 1 Thessalonians, the reminder to rejoice in all things. Would you be able to rejoice while you were in prison, in a crowded situation, in a place that was infested with fleas? Betsy, her sister, said, "Corrie, we've got to give thanks for this barracks and even for these fleas." And Corrie said, "No way am I going to thank God for fleas." But Betsy was persuasive, and they did thank God even for the fleas. And during the months that followed that, they found that their barracks were left relatively free from contact by the guards. And they could do Bible study. They could talk openly. They even pray in the barracks. It was their only place of refuge, that they could be free from the guards. And several months later, they learned that the reason the guards never entered their barracks was because of the fleas. To give thanks, please.
What are the fleas
in your life right now? That you say, man, I wish this wasn't here. God, just take this away from me and stuff. This is terrible. Can you give God thanks for it instead? You need to keep telling yourself, this isn't happening to me. It is happening for me. Do you understand that? This isn't happening to me. We so often just take that perspective of, wow, what is happening to me? What are the things that are going on in my life that this is just bad for me? And it's, what is God doing to me? Instead of, what is God doing for me? Even in the midst of the hard things. Max Lucado, in his book, Facing the Giants, Facing Your Giants, I mean, tells the story of him participating in a half Ironman triathlon. And I don't know if you know what that is, but it involves swimming and biking and running. And it's half. So it's marathon is 26 miles, 26.2. So a half would be 13.1, plus the bike trip, plus the swimming and stuff to do. It's a 1.2-mile swim. 56-mile bike ride, and that 13-point mile. He decided he was going to participate in this. And he was just getting into that jog, and he was talking to the fellow next to him after all the swimming and riding the bike and asked him how he was doing. And he said, this stinks. This race is the dumbest decision I ever made. And he had more complaints about what it was like. Lucas said he probably had more complaints than a citizen at the IRS office, you know, and stuff to do. I can probably think of some complaints that I might have at the IRS office and stuff. So Max's response to that, goodbye. And he sped up his pace and got away from him. And pretty soon, he caught up to a 66-year-old grandmother that was in the same race. And her tone was just the opposite of the guy he had just left. She said, you'll finish this, she encouraged him. It's hot, but at least it's not raining. One step at a time. Don't forget to hydrate. Stay in there. And he ran next to her until his heart was filled and his legs were aching. And he finally had to slow down and let her go. And she said, no problem, and kept and waved and kept on going and stuff. Which of those two describes the counsel that you seek? Are you seeking counsel from those that will just complain with you or to encourage you? To give you the positive perspective instead of just all the negative things. To feed into you those good things or feed into you the bad things. Over thousands of years, the Jewish people around the world have developed specific blessings that function as explanations of gratitude. And over time, have grown to encompass nearly everything that they deal with. For example, one who sees the ocean, they can say, blessed are you, Lord, our God, King of the universe, who made the great sea. Most of us have probably been to the beach in the past year at some point, right? Maybe, and stuff to look at, and we have, wow, that's pretty neat. Look at that. But do we thank God for it? You made this ocean, God. Thank you for doing that. One blessing that Jews all over the world continue to say this very day is when they wake, they say the Modi Anai. And it says, I thank you, living and eternal King, for returning my soul within me in compassion, Great is your faithfulness. Great is God's faithfulness when you wake up. He has returned your soul to you after sleeping. I want us to look this morning, if you want to turn with me in your Bible, to Deuteronomy chapter 1, chapter 8, beginning at verse 1, and see what's taking place here as we look at what was going on in the lives of the Israelites. You know, this is after they had left captivity of the Egyptians. They were in the wilderness, had now spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness because of their disobedience, and now are getting ready to enter the Promised Land finally. And beginning there at verse 1, says, "Be careful to obey all the commands I'm giving you today. Then you will live and multiply, and you will enter there and occupy the land the Lord your God swore to give your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you through the wilderness for 40 years, humbling you and testing you to prove your character and to find out whether or not you would really obey his commands. Yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. He did it to teach you that people need more than bread for their life. Real bread comes by feeding on every word of God. For all these 40 years, your clothes didn't wear out. Your feet didn't blister or swell. So you should realize that just as a parent disciplines a child, the Lord your God disciplines you to help you. So obey the commands of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, flowing with streams of and pools of water, and with springs that gush forth in the valleys and hills. It is a land of wheat and barley, or grapevines, fig trees, pomegranates, olives, and honey. It is a land where food is plentiful and nothing is lacking. It is a land where iron is as common as stone and copper is abundant in the hills. When you have eaten your fill, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you." To realize those things that are good that God is giving us. He says, you know, you've been through this. Now this is what you're entering into and going to receive. But that next part comes with a warning. It says, but that is the time to be careful. Beware that in your plenty, you do not forget the Lord your God and disobey his commands, regulations, and laws. For when you have become full and prosperous and have built fine homes to live in, and when your flocks and herds have become very large and your silver and gold have multiplied along with everything else, that is the time to be careful. Do not become proud at the time and forget the Lord your God who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt. Do not forget that he led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with poisonous snakes and scorpions, where it was so hot and dry. He gave you water from the rock. He fed you with manna in the wilderness, a food unknown to your ancestors. He did this to humble you and test you for your own good. He did it so that you would never think that it was your own strength and energy that made you wealthy. Always remember that it is the Lord your God who gives you power to become rich, and he does it to fulfill the covenant he made with you and your ancestors. But I assure you of this, if you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods, worshiping and bowing down to them, you will be destroyed. Just as the Lord has destroyed other nations in your path, and also he will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God. to realize what was happening here. The things of plenty that the people were moving into. But God knows our human character, right? Before they ever did it, he said, be careful that you don't forget, that you don't become self-arrogant, that you don't become self-reliant on, look at what I did. Look how much I have. Look at the blessings that I created for myself. And forget about God. So what do we do today so that we don't fall into those same things? First thing that we must do is we must learn to be thankful or we become forgetful. What was it that we just read in verses 10 and 11? When you have eaten your fill, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. But that is the time to be careful. Beware that in your plenty, you forget the Lord your God and disobey his commands, regulations, and laws. There may be some that we are in a land of plenty in our own lives right now. And it's so easy to fall into that trap of saying, wow, I'm doing well. Look at what I've done. Instead of relying on God. And there may be some that are in the land of the desert that you may not be experiencing plenty. But God will be with you no matter what. What did he say? He provided for the Israelites as they were in the desert. In Proverbs chapter 30, verse 8 and 9 says, first help me to never tell a lie. Second, give me neither poverty nor riches. Give me just enough to satisfy my needs. For if I grow rich, I might deny you and say, who is this Lord? And if I am too poor, I may steal and thus insult God's holy name. That realization of that either side of that coin is a danger for us. If we become forgetful of who God is. Psalms 103 puts it this way. Praise the Lord, I tell myself. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, I tell myself, and never forget the good things he does for me. Never forget. We don't want to be forgetful about giving thanks. And it begins with every morning. Thank you, God, for allowing me to wake up and give me breath today. The next thing we need to realize is that we must be thankful or we become discouraged. That realization of what happens to us when we aren't thankful for the things that we have in our lives, for what God is doing. You may never have heard of him, a man named Martin Rinkert. He was a minister in a little town of Ehlenberg in Germany 400 years ago and stuff. So probably none of you ever met him, right? And he was the son of a poor coppersmith, but somehow he managed to work his way through an education. And finally, in the year 1617, he was offered the post of archdeacon at his hometown parish. A year later, what has become to be known as the 30-Year War broke out, and his town was caught right in the middle of that war. In 1637, a massive plague that was sweeping across the nation hit Ehlenberg. People died at the rate of 50 a day, and the man that was called upon to bury most of them was Martin Rinkert. In all, over 8,000 people died, including Martin's own wife. And his labors finally came to an end about 11 years later, just 1 year after the conclusion of the 30-year war. His ministry spanned 32 years, But all the first and all but the first and last year was he was overwhelmed by great conflict that engulfed his town. Tough circumstances in which to be thankful. But he managed. And he wrote these words. This is a hymn that's in our one of our hymnals that we used to use often and stuff. And it's entitled, "Now Thank We All Our God." And he wrote and says, "Now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices, who wondrous things hath done, in whom his world rejoices, who from his mother's arms hath blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love, and is still ours today. Oh, may this bounteous God through all our life be near us, with ever joyful hearts bless peace to cheer us, and keep us in his grace, and guide us when perplexed, and free us from all ills in this world and the next." That was written by the man that experienced 30 years of turmoil and trials and the war that happened and the plague that came. He was able to write and say, "God bless us and keep us in the things that he wants us to be, to realize our thankfulness." The most intense moments of thankfulness are not found in times of plenty. They're when difficulties abound. Think of the pilgrims' first Thanksgiving. Half of their number dead, men without a country, but still there was thanksgiving to God. The gratitude was not for something, but in something. It is that same sense of gratitude that led Abraham Lincoln to formally establish the first Thanksgiving Day in the midst of a national civil war, when the list of casualties seemed to have no end, and the very nation struggled for survival. Psalms once again tells us, "Why am I so discouraged? Why so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God." See, here, why is not a question for you to figure out the cause, but to realize that hope that I have. Why should I be so discouraged? I have hope. Why should I be so sad? I have God to place my hope in, is what he's telling us here. Because when we forget to be thankful, we become discouraged. I think the next thing we need to do is we must be thankful, or we become arrogant and self-satisfied. Romans 1:2, Paul tells us, yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. To realize what that is, to become arrogant and self-satisfied. Well, I can do this all on my own. I don't need God. What's the purpose of there is having God around? Look, I'm fine by myself. And I don't need anything else around. In other words, that's the same thing as being stiff-necked, right? That I'm not turned aside for anything. This is just what I'm doing on my own and stuff. And it is a realization of what we just read about, of being stiff-necked. And it says, even in the Old Testament, Nehemiah 9 says, "But they, our forefathers, became arrogant and stiff-necked and did not obey your commands. They refused to listen and failed to remember the miracles you performed among them." They became stiff-necked. Wow. You know, we have a lot of things that we can think about our ancestors, right? Typically, we think of my grandparents or great-grandparents and stuff. And the thing that comes to mind is typically not stiff-necked. It's probably not for you either. But the ancestors here, he's talking about, yeah, they were stiff-necked. I'm not turning aside. I'm not going to do what God says. I'm not going to follow that. I'm going to do my own thing. And the problems that came with it, because they weren't thankful. In Daniel chapter 5, it says, O king, the Most High God gave your father, Nebuchadnezzar, sovereignty and greatness and glory and splendor. Because of the high position he gave him, all the people and the nations and men of every language dreaded and feared him. Those the king wanted to put to death, he put to death. Those he wanted to spare, he spared. Those he wanted to promote, he promoted. And those he wanted to humble, he humbled. But when his heart became arrogant and hardened with pride, he was deposed from his royal throne and stripped of his glory. He was driven away from people and given the mind of an animal. He lived with the wild donkeys and ate grass like cattle, and his body was drenched with the dew of heaven until he acknowledged that the Most High God is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and sets over them anyone he wishes. Wow. Look at what happened to King Nebuchadnezzar because he was arrogant. He hardened his heart, being stiff-necked, and the consequences that he had to face. But that scripture doesn't stop there, because Daniel's talking to somebody else. He's talking to Nebuchadnezzar's son, Belshazzar. And he goes on and says, but you, O son, Belshazzar, have not humbled yourself, though you knew all of this. Instead, you have set yourself up against the Lord of heaven. And how many things do we know about what's happened in the past? We've got a Bible full of those things, how the ancestors became arrogant and stiff-necked, and they turned away from God, and they continued to not follow God, and how they would say, oh, man, we're sorry, we'll follow you. And it was for a short period of time before they became forgetful again and forgot about God's blessings and what he was doing and stuff, and they fell away again. And he's telling Belshazzar the same thing. You knew this, and yet you continued to turn away from God. The same thing applies to us. Do I know all the things of what happened in the past? And yet, do I still struggle with following God? Yes, God, I'll believe you. I'll trust you. I'll follow you. So many times we have that, I got a better idea, God. You know, how about if I do it this way instead? How about if I just change this and it'll be okay? I think this will be better. In this season of thanks that we are in right now, how are you feeling? Are you feeling forgetful, discouraged, arrogant, or self-satisfied? Maybe the problem is we need to be a little bit more thankful for whatever situation we're in. Psalms 79 tells us, then we, your people, the sheep of your pasture, will thank you forever and ever, praising your greatness from generation to generation. To thank God forever and ever, praising him from one generation to the next, over and over. Paul tells us in Ephesians, sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, even the fleas. What are your fleas once again? What are you struggling with? What are you doing right now that you go, man, this is, God, this has got to change. God, this, I don't like this. God, this is the problem I'm struggling with. God, this is where I find myself in these situations and I don't like it. We go back to Corrie Ten Boom's scripture that they read in the concentration camp, 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, always be joyful. Keep on praying. No matter what happens, always be thankful. For this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. In that scripture, it doesn't say anything about always be thankful if it's good. If you think it's the best thing. If you like it. It says always be thankful. No matter what happens. Because we belong to Jesus Christ. Psalmist once again tells us, the sacrifice that honors me is a thankful heart. Obey me, and I, your God, will show you my power to save. God's power has not diminished. His love for you has not changed. We may think that at times, oh, God doesn't love me anymore because of the problems I'm going through. It's not true. God's word tells us that's false. I trust in him and his word and his love for me and for you. He honors a thankful heart. In whatever situation you're in, are you telling him thanks? At the beginning of the day, thanks for the breath that you gave me. Are you following the, like Max Lucado did, the guy that he was jogging with, that says, this is terrible. And other people are feeding into you that same thing. Be thankful and follow what God has for you. In this season of thanks, when you think you're feeling forgetful about, man, I don't have anything to be thankful for. That's where that song comes in. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. And you'll see what God has done. Do that. Are you feeling discouraged about the situation you face or problems that are coming up? Things that you perceive to be problems? Remember to be thankful. Are you feeling arrogant and self-satisfied? Man, look at myself. I'm doing good. I don't have to be thankful to God. Look at what I've done. Never forget to be thankful. Would you stand with me as we pray today?